If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 39 of Sir Kevin Says. We have Mark Bilderbach in La Casa. Woo. What's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
How are you, bro?
I'm well, man.
Most people don't know we just had a half hour conversation before we even started this one.
I know, bro. I know. So do I Venmo you for the therapy session or how does this work?
I only accept PayPal, bro.
PayPal. All right, PayPal. Cool.
All right.
All right. I'm a Cash App guy, but it's not. Yeah. I was messing.
No, welcome, bro. Thanks for coming through, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
It wasn't too far for
no.
you.
No. Just 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 Easy. Minutes, man.
Yeah.
I know it's a little bit of a later one, but I appreciate it. I'm trying to think about how we met. Do you remember? Was that at Rancho?
I think it was at Rancho, yeah.
A couple years ago now.
I think Donovan brought you on for a weekend. And I was like, yo, this boy can play. And that was it.
Yeah, that was it, right?
Yeah, I was like, hey, all right. Homeboy can play. Yeah, man, I think that was it, dude.
Well, bro, let's start a little bit from the beginning, man. A little bit of your story. For those that don't know Mark Bilderbach, he is a 27-year-old musician out of Southern California. Mm-hmm. Where exactly?
Riverside.
Okay, yeah. So i.e. he specializes in session work as a guitar player, pedal board building, and recently he's been working on mixing and engineering. He loves his wife, his son, Jack, whiskey, and Jesus. I love it, bro. I love it. You built a board for Isaac, didn't you?
No, I was going to.
You were going to. Then you did it for Alex.
Yeah, I built two boards for Alex.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
Dude, Alex. Oh, I love Alex. Alex is my boy, man. And we never get to hang as much as I'd like. But yeah, same thing with you, bro. But no, so Alex had reached out to me and was like, man, I got all these pedal board questions. Can I just run them by you? I'm like, yeah. Trying to build this rig and I got to do it with like kind of quick. He's like, I got a gig. I'm like, oh yeah, what are you doing? I'll be playing at Coachella. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's cool.
That kind of gig. Huh?
Oh yeah. It's just a gig. Yeah. I got a gig. It's at a bar down the street. We ain't doing the same gigs, bro. No, man. So he hit me up and he was running a bunch of stuff by me on some technical stuff.
Yeah.
And I offered, I was like, dude, like, let's just bust this out. You know, he's like, oh, man, I got rehearsals and I'm planning on bringing this for my rehearsals. But like, I really wish the rig would be done. And dude, it was just like do you have all the stuff? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, Sunday afternoon, running off 3 hours of sleep kind of thing. I'm like, come over and I'll just do it. And so he brought all his stuff over. And like 10 hours later, there was a rig.
Wow.
It was done. He came by at like 11 o'clock at night, 12
oh my
o'clock at
gosh.
Night. Yeah. Came, picked up his rig and it was dope, dude. I mean, it was a massive little rig, that had so much horsepower and it was rad, you know, it was super cool. And then, you know, his gigs changed and he needed different needs and stuff. And about a year later, I think, reached out and was like, dude, can we do the same thing? Yeah, let's do it.
Nice.
So yeah, man, Alex I love that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still doing that at all?
Yeah. So I like to do it like when I know the person a little bit more.
Okay.
And like what are all your needs? Because a lot of the times guitar players, for sizing purposes and weight and all that for flying and whatnot, you tend to go like, what do I need and what do I want? And let's compromise and try to build something around that. Mm-hmm. And my thing is like, let's try and compromise as little as possible.
Yeah.
And get you everything. So I don't know. I get in the brain of it because it's like that's what I do. I play guitar as well.
Right.
So I like to kind of navigate that a little bit and kind of go like, well, you could do this or you could do that or you have this option there. And it works that way.
Nice.
It works a little bit. So Yeah, but yeah, I do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
When did you start playing guitar?
Ooh, I was like nine and a half.
Oh, so relatively young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And your influences?
Oh man, at the time, I loved like anything raw and emotional. And so the first song I learned on electric guitar was from my cousin, and he taught me Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes.
The White Stripes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I dug it, man. I dug Jack, you know, and what he was doing. And I don't think like I would look at him as an influence, but I just loved like the emotive side of
right.
all of it. You know, yeah. It was just raw, it was aggressive, it was yeah. But like early influences were definitely like kind of more CCM. Not CCM, but like the early late 90s, early 2000s, Christian,
got
like,
it.
Switchfoot and
Skillet.
Skillet, yeah, yeah. Supertones, yeah, back in the day, yeah, dude, like all that. It was fun, man. I mean, and then I got my rebellious stage and was like, I found Green Day. And my parents were like, And I was like, Yeah. They didn't have private browsing back then. Otherwise, I would have been looking up. And it would have just been music, honestly.
That's funny.
Yeah.
On LimeWire and Rhapsody? Yeah. Is that what Rhapsody is?
Back in the day, it was Windows Media Player. Used to do like previews of these music videos.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to, you could like buy it at a certain bit rate. But if you wanted to just preview it, you could look at it as like, you know, cheap, just
right.
But I would just do it just for the music, man.
That's funny.
I've loved music, man. Like it's been since I was a kid. Like, dude, I remember my mom used to throw on The Wave back in the day, which if y'all don't know, it's like smooth jazz.
94.7.
Exactly.
The Wave.
There you go. Yeah. I wasn't going to meet you because I'm like, I don't know where you're going with it.
You know what, bro? I'm just going to do this for myself.
Yeah, bro. Yep.
Right there.
That's
right
up. There. That's what's up, dude.
Proceed.
Yeah. No, man, but I've loved like, I mean, dude, I love Luther Vandross. Love like, you know, Anita. I love all the old stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you throw in rock and everything else throughout my early, you know, childhood as well. And I loved all of it. You know, big fan of everything in the 80s through now. Love 70s stuff. That 70s stuff was kind of later. It was me finding that stuff. But yeah, love her.
Nice, man. Yeah. Nice. How'd you get into church?
Yeah, so from an early age, my mom and dad, they met. Well, they kind of met through church kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My stepdad at the time was going to church, and my mom had a Seventh-day Adventist background, and she was like, I want nothing to do with the church. And he was like, no, it's cool. It's not as crazy as you think it is. And so there was some missionary dating going on there. but no, man. Yeah. So I remember church being a thing from a very young age. And then obviously back then, you know, musicians, mm-hmm. you know, they were killer. So yeah, going to church, you know, I started going at Harvest. And man, some real killers, some really dope people. And that got me interested in that kind of thing, but it always was like, those guys are superstars and you know, that vibe. And then moved overseas for a little bit with my stepdad's job. He was an IT guy, and one of the guys he was working for moved us out there for a year and a half.
Okay.
This was New Zealand, by the way.
Oh man, really overseas.
Yeah, really, really overseas. Yeah. Yeah, not Canada, bro. No, man. So we were out there, and you know, I was alone in my room playing guitar.
Wow.
And somebody heard me from church, and they're like, dude, you should come like play at church. And so I showed up to a band rehearsal and then went to youth group on Friday, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, you should have been here 2 hours ago.
Oh, I'm
like,
my goodness.
What are you talking about? And they're like, do you have your guitar? I'm like, no. They're like, it's fine. There's one here. Like, you have to play guitar right now. Let's go. And I was like, what songs? Like, the ones from rehearsal the other night. Like, come on, let's go. And I was like, they're like, we literally, like, we were supposed to be on 2 minutes ago. And I was like, okay. And that was how I jumped into playing at church, was like accident.
Wow. And
no one told me anything. It was typical church. No one tells you anything. It's like, go. I mean, you know, unless you work for me now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, man. But yeah, dude, yeah, that's how I got into church playing and learned a lot through that. Had a lot of good mentors coming up. A few bad ones, you know, mm-hmm. kind of get in your head a little bit.
Sure.
But yeah, dude, overall, playing at church has kind of been how I started doing this thing.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And then you were introduced into like the secular world and doing a little bit of that. Like,
yeah.
You know, you've done some country
yeah.
music.
Yeah. I've done some stuff with a lot of country artists in Southern California based in San Diego, Orange County. That's had me all over, you know, whether it's been Vegas, Big Bear. We did a Midwest run, like Indiana, Chicago, Nashville, kind of mm-hmm. stuff like that a couple times. I say run because it's, you know, a week or two of dates. Usually when it's like, you know, 4 weeks, I'm like, okay, that's a tour.
Yeah.
You know, that's a small tour.
Anything longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, but if it's shorter than 2 weeks, it's a run.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, man, no. So, I've been doing the country thing. That kind of started, you know, while I was at church, you know, the Lord blessed me to kind of be within a certain capacity, if you will, to take some stuff on as like some, you know, Christian school mm-hmm. events and whatnot. And then that got my feet wet to like learning like how to run a show and how programs work and like what does a 2-hour show look like with music and, you know, interludes and all that kind of theater stuff, which was super cool. And then that got my feet wet to like how to learn songs because no one was charting stuff out. It was like, these are the songs we got to do. This is how we do this. This is the music for it. So I was doing my own charting kind of thing,
nice.
Shorthands and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that got me kind of into that world. And then, you know, fast forward a couple of years down the road, I'm hanging with a few friends and they're like, dude, why don't you come down to this like little club down in Temecula? I think you'd love it. And met that, you know, hung out with that dude. Met a bunch of other dudes there and they're like, oh, dude, do you know any John Mayer? I'm like, do I know any John Mayer? Are you kidding me?
I am John Mayer.
Nah, I wish, bro. No, man. But yeah, I was like, yeah, dude. So we did like a few things there and they're like, oh my gosh, man, you're really good. Like, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just playing a church. What? You know? And it's kind of how that happened, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude. I mean, you know, church, they ask for excellence. So, mm-hmm. you know, when that's your practice time, you know, that's the way you ingest material, I guess. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got into the secular world.
You were doing a little bit of a music directing role at church, actually, mm-hmm. Rancho Community. Did you feel like the stuff that you learned prior to coming to Rancho was essential for you to be a great music director?
Man, dude, a lot of it has just been trial and error stuff. You know, stuff I've seen that worked along the years and stuff that I saw that didn't work.
Mm.
Whether it be interpersonal or prep ahead of time. The way I look at prep now is if I'm quote unquote a music director or I'm leading a band, I want to give you all the resources and all the info up front so that when we get together, our time is maximized.
Yeah.
And we get to chill more as opposed to run against the clock and kind of, you know, do the thing where everything kind of happened and it was cool, but like it could have been better. I'm a 1 on the Enneagram. I don't know what any of it really means, but apparently it means that like you really look for excellence and you want it to be the best that can be.
Right.
It's part of like the DNA of who I am. And that just comes from, you know, growing up in church and having, you know, being a kid looking at these guys who were just average guys, but doing their thing to a certain level of excellence. And it's like, that's the bar mentally, you know, it's, there's always that thing of trying to, you know, elevate something so that you are not a distraction. I once heard a worship leader say, in a prayer, he was like, let us be a, good Lord. What was it?
Vessel?
No, not a vessel. It was a, it was an unapologetic, man, I can't remember what the word is to save my life, but it was basically, let's not be a hindrance.
Okay, you know,
let us be so excellent that we're not a hindrance to what the Spirit wants to do in,
wow.
in the thing. And that's going to bug me now, not remembering that word, but it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
come
fine.
Back to it though.
I'll come back to it. But he said that in a prayer and I was really taken back by that because I'd never heard that. you know, normally it says excellence because, well, you want to be dope, yeah, right? This was like, hey, let's be so dope that we get out of the way what the Holy Spirit wants to do.
Wow, that's good.
And I was like, ooh, yeah. I'm gonna keep that one.
Even though I can't remember.
Yeah, exactly. The one word. Basically it was like, let's just not be a hindrance to it. Yeah. And, but yeah, man. So the way I look at, like, you know, carrying a band and doing all that stuff is, you know, if I can do enough prep work of what I see the end vision being, and I'm working with a worship leader or I'm working with whoever the artist is at that time, because I took this approach, secular or non-secular,
right,
whether it was worship or not worship, I want to do all the stuff up front and then disperse it to the guys and go, hey, here's enough time to learn it and let's get together. And once we do, you know, if we got to work it out and how it feels, because, you know, playing to a track is different than doing it.
Right.
Yeah, man. So that's kind of my viewpoint on it. I like to do as much prep ahead of time, and then once we get together, it's just like pull the trigger and
exactly
we're doing this.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. You are a family man. You are married. You have your son Jack.
Yeah, man.
Let me ask you about balancing what you do professionally and the family. How difficult or how easy is that?
Oh, it's the most difficult thing in the world. It's the most difficult thing in the world, man. I'm a lover of people, right? Which means that when you're in my crew, mentally or otherwise, I will give you all of my time. Mm. So if you text me, I'm going to text you back. If you call me, I'm going to call you back. I want to give you that time. That works a lot of the times when you're on a gig. But when you're at home and the wife, you know, who's been working 8 hours a day is with your son, who's not seen your wife for 8 hours, is running crazy and, you know, doing all that. You know, you got to kind of find the balance there of like, hey, I love my friends. I love the people I work with. I love the community that I have. But also home is home.
Yeah.
And you got to protect that. It's an interesting concept, man, because it's something that, you know, you have this like viewpoint as a man, like, oh, I gotta work, I gotta provide, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And so with that mentality, right, you look at work that same way, which means this relationship that this person is texting me, I wanna make sure I'm adhering to that, I'm respecting that, I'm giving them my time. That's how this works. That's how this industry works, right? It's relationships. And that's all cool. Everything's fine with that. But, you know, being able to turn that off, that's definitely something that's because it almost feels like it's wrong because you have to turn off the part of you that's providing. And it's not. It's actually not. And so having that perspective, I think, is really helpful to kind of go like, hey, no, what is important and what are you providing for your family? Right now, you're not going to go make a dollar texting that person. You're not going to make a dollar on the phone with that person. Mm. You're going to provide your time to your family. So that's what you're providing for them.
Yeah.
That's what they need. Yeah. They don't need another dollar right now, like at dinner time, you know, or, you know, pushing dinner time, like, hey, I'm almost done on the phone. I mean, ask my wife, like, I am the king of that. Like, hey, dinner's done. Are you almost wrapped up? Yeah, I'm wrapping up right now. Are you really wrapping up? Or like, you know, and that's just me putting me on blast. Like, that's real, bro. But yeah, man, balancing that can be difficult, but it's so important, man. You know, my son is also a lover of music. I love that kid. Yeah,
I've seen the videos on Instagram, man.
Yeah,
it goes crazy.
Yeah. I mean, dude, don't threaten him with a good time with Vandross or anything else. He loves that, man. But you know, a lot of his early childhood, his early, you know, upbringing and stuff. I mean, dude, that boy spent his time in a pack and play right next to me as I'm practicing set lists, as I'm practicing, you know, that was his life. And that was my life, you know, and there's a little bit of regret there that I look back on. I'm like, yeah, like, why did I did a $200 gig and I was so stressed out about it. And it took me 2 days of prep time, you know, and my kids stayed in a pack and play or did whatever. And I pulled them out. I was, you know, we had fun as well, but you know, it's that a little bit of neglect there, which gives you that perspective to like pour in, lean into the family, lean into that kind of stuff and really make that important. Because no one else is going to make it important, man.
Yeah.
You know, and the gigs are going to come and go. Money's going to come and go. You know, and what's important? What's important is what your kid's going to remember, you know? Mm. So
the legacy you leave behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's really important to me. And You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I'm getting better at
it. That's good. Let's talk a little bit about faith and how important that's been with your journey.
Yeah. All right. Where do you want to start?
Where do you want to start us?
Oh, man.
Maybe start in the moments where you felt like it was most difficult and how God brought you out of those scenarios or situations, you know, and then how your relationship with God is now, however you want to express that.
Yeah. So basically, man, it's so interesting because faith can be so, it's so interesting because when you grow up in the church, you have, you have this, you know, kind of mentality that you have to have this rock solid faith. And if it's not rock solid, then it can be put into question, right? There's this idea or there's this phrase that's like, hey, if you don't know what you believe in, you fall for anything kind of thing. So you have to know what you believe in. You have to know what you believe in. And that's cool. But man, at 16, what you look at 16 versus 26, there's a lot of life that happens in between those things. So the moral compass and not moral compass, but the way that you look at life is very different. You know, at 16, it's like, I need to go get a job so I can pay for my cell phone so I can text my girlfriend. That's at 16, you know? I mean, at 26, you're like, I got to go work this, and that so I can afford rent, you know, and keep my family afloat and also make sure I'm putting time into that and stuff. And so I'd say that, you know, the amount of faith that it takes to be a single person living at one's parents' house at 16 years old, needing a side job just to pay for your cell phone bill, it's a little different weight involved than when you're 26, have a child and, you know, have other responsibilities. I think part of that, though, is knowing that God knows that and that it's okay. It's okay to not know everything. It's okay to not know, you know, what's coming down the pipeline next. I think that faith sometimes has this thing of like, well, you need to have more ducks in a row than the next person, because that's really what faith is. And I would disagree with that. I would say that your ducks should be as many that the Lord grants you in that moment. You know what I mean? And really leaning into that. And currently I'm kind of in a place right now where I'm really leaning into the Lord and going like, hey, I feel like you're telling me X, Y, and Z, and I'm totally good with that. Also, X, Y, and Z is super nerve-wracking. And I like, not being in control of this is kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, you know, a lot of, especially in the Christian world, they're like, oh, I'm such a Peter, or I'm such a Paul, I'm such a this, I'm such a that. And truthfully, man, it's like, we're all everybody at one time. That's why the Bible has as many stories as it does, right?
Exactly.
So it can relate to all of us at one point in time or another. But in that case, it's like, look at Peter, man. Like, Peter had the faith to go out and say, I want to go meet Jesus. I'm going to go meet Jesus out on the water, because this boat's rocking and I'd rather be out there with him than here.
Yeah.
Right? It's nerve-wracking. And so he had the faith to go, I'm going to get out the boat because he's calling me and I'm going to go meet him because he's walking on water right now. Wow. That's huge. I mean, I can't imagine being in a boat in a storm, seeing somebody walk on water to begin with, but also going like, hey, I'm going to die any second here.
Yeah.
And this guy wants to get out of the boat. What are you doing?
Right.
How nerve-wracking is that, right? But being able to have that faith and step out to begin with, massive, huge, wow. But then to have the part of the story that's focused on is, once he did, he was walking towards Jesus and everything was fine. And then he started seeing this wave, and then he started to sink and said, Lord, help me. There's a certain stigma with that that's like, oh, well, he didn't have enough faith, or he got distracted, or Dude, that's part of the experience, man.
Yeah.
Like, better to go sink and have the Lord save you.
Right.
That's his job. That's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, being a father, going back to that, man, like, I look at my kid and I'm like, gosh, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm human. I sin. I have sin in my life. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Now this, we have this heavenly Father who's the creator of everything that we know. Oh my gosh. He has the power to, you know, give life, take it away, all of these things, all of these amazing, beautiful qualities. How much more is he going to take care of us? Mm-hmm. I'm a human, and I can take care of a three-year-old and say, buddy, I'm gonna make sure you're fed. I'm going to make sure you have your favorite movie on. I'm going to make sure I have your favorite snacks. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to put a roof over your head. I'm going to do all those things for you. But if you fall out of line, I'm going to also discipline you. That doesn't mean I don't love you.
Right. That means that I do love
you.
That means that I do love you.
And then I want you to grow. I want you to become an amazing human being. Yeah. I want you to be an amazing man of God. At the same time, if I can do that as a human, what is, what? Mm-hmm. And that's been the beauty of, I think, faith, to sum it all up, man, is, you know, again, when I was 16, I had a certain amount of faith. At 26, I'm looking at it and going, God, you've entrusted me with what, in my opinion, is way too much. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this little human to take care of. But what really, you know, people always say children are a gift from God. Man, the gift for me was going and putting this parallel kind of perspective of like, wow, if I can do this as a human to my son, this is what the Lord wants to do for me. So yeah. A lot of the faith questions that I had immediately got answered, because it's like God is a God of love. This isn't just words on a piece of paper that we're told growing up. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of justice. He is a God of grace. Understanding all of those elements and then wrapping it up as a picture where I can view it. I'm viewing my son and going, wow, like you're acting up and I got to pop you and I don't like this. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, in the moment it's like, you know, daddy's got to handle business. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, there's a part of it where, you know, the faith side of it really does kind of solidify itself a little bit more. And I think it's to answer the question fully, it's about being willing to be open to that, being willing to allow the Lord to kind of bring you on a journey and go like, hey, 16 is a lot different than 26.
Right.
You know, the weight of the world is going to be a little bit different. And I'm sure it'll be different at 36, you know, 46, 56, whatever. But being willing to go on that journey and say, all right, Lord, like you take care of this. You do what you got to do and help me get out of the way. You know, that's been my prayer, man. That's been my prayer through this time.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. What would you say is the difference between achieving your goals and achieving your dreams or accomplishing your dreams? I know right now that question is difficult.
Pandemic,
and you know, not so much work, but how would you answer that?
I would say dreams are God-given and goals are personal goals, right? Mm-hmm. So I could say like, hey, at the end of this year, I'm going to go on tour with Jesse J. I love Jesse J. I'm just going to throw that out there. I could say that. I could quote unquote speak that into existence. Whether that happens or not, whether that's part of my journey or not, whether that's anything that the Lord wanted me to do, that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
That's my personal goal. And if it happens, rad. I'm down. But if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be kind of brokenhearted about it. This is very superficial. But I think the thing is setting goals for me has changed and shifted from personal strategies, especially through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, where do I want to see? What's my 5-year plan? Oh, I want to be touring. I want to be bringing home money for my family. I want my family to be taken care of. And I want to be able to throw a little bit away for, you know, my son's school or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the usual common goal, right? But I think that taking your goal and going, okay, what's realistic, A, and how does that apply to the dream that I feel like the Lord has given me? And kind of aligning those two.
Right.
I feel like the pandemic has kind of given me that perspective, because when this whole thing went down, I'm sure you were in the same boat where it's like, what are we doing?
Right.
What's anybody doing?
Yeah.
You know, you're still working? How? Yeah, man. And then a week later, hey, man, they canceled the whole thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, we were supposed to be in Europe. It's fine. But yeah, it's not happening anymore. You know, like those are the things, man, that like, you know, I think that's what kind of jolted me, and I'm sure a lot of other people as well, but kind of going, I've had all these personal goals that are, I think, are fulfilling. You know, you have this, once I get this, I'll be happy. Or once I get that, I'll be happy, right? These goals that you'll work towards, you know, once I can make X amount of dollars a week, you know, I'll be super good because the financial stress, I'll be fine, whatever. The thing that I felt like through the pandemic, from goals to dreams, is going like, okay, well, the Lord put something on your heart, right? This whole thing about music, right? It's a gift. Not everybody's called to it. Not everyone's gifted, and to the extent that, you know, we've put in our time and stuff like that. So to me, it's going, okay, that dream, that goal, that thing that the Lord has given us, Are we nurturing it? Have we nurtured it? Okay, cool. Have we taken care of it? Have we not disrespected it? Okay, cool. All of those things are cool. All right, now, how do we take that and then create goals based on that so that they're working together?
Yeah.
As opposed to going, man, I worked every single day last week. You know, I did this gig, I did that gig, I did this gig, I did that gig. And at the end of it, I didn't get fulfilled on any of it. Mm. Why? Because this isn't part of the dream. This isn't part of the thing that I was coming back to, that the Lord put on my heart. That was kind of the hard reality. And I've gotten better at kind of explaining it because initially I'm like, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. why did you even do this to me? You know, and there's a little bit of that. But at the same time, you know, I think there's a reality to that where he's like, hey, just like Peter, right, getting out on the boat and he starts seeing the waves and stuff like that. That's all you were. You're just a little distracted. That's cool. But now let's refine your viewpoint.
Right.
Let's refine what we're looking at, right, how we're approaching life.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah.
Again, do I have it down? Nah.
Yeah.
But it helps. You know, it helps when making decisions. It helps now looking at life and kind of going, okay, what makes sense? You know, am I just working just for work sake? You know, am I going to go do that gig just because it pays me? Or am I really going to, do I feel satisfied doing that? Do I feel like that's what the Lord's calling me to do? And there's stuff that you got to do in the in between. We all know that. Like, you know, whether it be, you know, hustling DoorDash or, you know, Instacart or whatever.
Kind Amazon.
Making ends meet. Like, you got to do what you got to do.
Right, right. Right.
But at the same time, when that's your goal and that's your focus and you just keep doing that, that's when things kind of like, what are we doing? Let's realign ourselves. Like, what's the dream? What's the thing that the Lord has given us to do? The desires of our heart, right? And it's almost in a sense, He wants to give us those. And to re-say what I said earlier, not in a, you know, I shall grant you $1 million by the end of the week kind of thing, but in a real way, like he put those desires in your heart. He wants to fulfill them. So how are we as humans, because we do have free will, how are we aligning ourselves with that?
Yeah.
You know, because we can work against that. But yeah.
Yeah. What would you say value means to you?
Man, respect. That's the first thing I think of when I think value.
Yeah.
I think respect. I think respect for your fellow musicians on stage, respect for leadership, whoever. And this is within church or without church. Like, you know, this all applies, you know, whoever your artist that you're working for, you know, whatever management team, you know, hey, if they want you to wear blue all day on Tuesday, you wear blue all day
denim.
On Tuesday. Yeah. You know, I mean, hey, if you're in Adidas on Wednesday, that's cool with Gucci on that. But, you know, but dude, yeah, I think respect is probably the biggest thing. And I say that respect for yourself, respect for the gig, respect for your fellow musician, but respect enough to know that your fellow musician can say something or do something to wrong you, and you have enough respect for yourself to say, no, we're not going to say that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to, you know, let that be okay.
Right.
Kind of thing. And, you know, whether that's a gig, man, whether that's somebody drinking too much, you know, and saying some stupid things, or whether that's at church and someone, you know, just being a glory hog, you know, fill after fill after fill, or lick after lick after lick, you know, it's, what's the goal?
Yeah.
Right? The goal is not a show for you. The goal is a show in general, right? Whether it be a show, whether it be a church service, whether it be whatever, work together for those things.
Yeah.
So I would say respect and value comes from the people who understand that. You know, I've worked with you enough times. The common goal is always the common goal. And when it's time to shine, you pick your spots.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's never the Kevin show. It's never the Mark show. It's never, you know, whoever.
But it is a Sir Kevin Says show. So, you know.
This is a Sir Kevin Says show. Yes, sir. Yes, it is. Which, by the way, these fancy mugs here.
I love the way you're holding them, man. Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
I think you're the first guest that has done that.
Yeah.
Because I messed up where, I mean, for those that don't know, it's only one-sided logo. So if he holds it on this side, you won't be able to see it.
Right, exactly.
But,
anyway,
but thank you.
But dude, look at that. And look at the fade, bro. Look at the fade on that. Come on. That's a dope fade.
Props to my brother Jeff, who takes care of that.
Exactly. So. Yep. Love it. Oh, and that delicious Arrowhead water.
Sorry, man.
Product placement. No, you're good, bro. You're good. But yeah, man, I'll just say this. I think this would be like the best thing to do. Get yourself a good set of friends. get yourself a good set of friends who like bring you up when you need it and will gently put you down when you need it. Yeah. You know, and yeah. I say gently put you down because there's been moments where I've been like, hey, that was sick. And they'll be like, hey, dude, you totally like came in two bars too early. Like, what were you? And I'm like, nah, dude, yes, you did. And I'm like, nah, there's no way, man. I'm the music director. Nah, you did, yeah. Dude. Like, it's
right.
I would just rethink that next time. You know, you go back and playback, it tells all, man.
Yeah.
And you're like, yep, I was two bars early, you know? But I think that's healthy, man. I think, you know, get yourself some good friends around you. That will value you, that'll show you how to value you. Mm-hmm. People that value themselves enough to value you as well. That's one of those things, man, that like, that's the non-musical golden nugget of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think in every walk of life, but specifically in music that no one talks about.
Yeah.
Get yourself a good set of friends. People who aren't going to fill you up with like, dude, that was the sickest thing in the world. And then you're just walking around with the biggest head in the world over nothing. You know, but the guys who are like, hey, dude, that right there, that thing you did on the second verse of that song, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And that shows you how to value others. When you have that kind of camaraderie, you bring that. You know, what's the phrase where it's like, if you give a smile, you get a smile back kind of thing?
I don't think I know that one.
Might be a white term. It's fine. but like, you know, if it's a lot easier, like if someone smiles at you and like, hey man, how you doing? You're all of a sudden like, dude, I'm good. Like yeah. It's infectious.
Right.
You know, you get that energy back.
Right.
You know, when you have that good set of friends, giving you that value, showing you what to value in life, whether it be in the industry or in the Christian music world or whatever, I really truly feel like that's infectious in every mm-hmm. way. That's one thing about you that I love, man. Every single time, what's up, mijo? Like, I love that. I love that about you. And it's infectious, man. And whether it's way early in the morning or whatever, you're like, you know, you have that thing, man. And it's good. You know, I think having some healthy value for yourself and others is, that's the way to go.
One of the most important things, man, is just trying to be consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I feel like my persona is that way, because I don't know what you've gone through during the week. And obviously you don't know what I've gone through, but it's like, if I can help somebody at least have some type of positive outlook or smile on their face, man, that's totally. What makes me happy. You know what I mean?
Totally,
so consistency,
man,
is such an important thing for me,
yeah,
for myself. And then obviously I want to see that from my friends, because sometimes it's nothing worse than like hanging out with people and you don't know what mood you're going to catch them. That's the worst.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been there. I've been there, bro. Like, what's good, man?
Nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Drums are going to be rough today, right, fam. Like,
yeah.
Somebody get him a cheeseburger? Like, somebody get him something.
Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love that, though. I love that about you. I appreciate that about you, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. What would you say to the aspiring musician, man, those that are trying to get into the industry at probably the most toughest time ever?
Yeah, don't.
But... some words of advice for them.
Oh, man. Get yourself a good crew of people. That would be, I would follow with that. I would follow up with that. Get yourself a good set of people and stay humble.
Yeah.
I would say that. Stay humble. Because I think we've all been there, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to speak for you, but I feel like we've all been into a certain place where it's like, you think you got something special.
Right.
And man, the Lord has a funny way of humbling us sometimes. Like, oh, you think that? All right, check this out. Look at this 12-year-old on Instagram.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, and there's always a bigger fish out somewhere, mm-hmm. right? There can only be one of you. Going back to the value thing, remember that part. I would say for anybody who's young, who's getting into this, coming off the value thing, there can only be one of you. So let that be its own thing. Don't be anybody else. Don't try to be anybody else. Just be you. Because that gift that you have is different than what somebody else has.
Right.
The gift I have is different than what you have.
Right.
Versus Alex or anybody else that we mm-hmm. know. And that's what makes them them.
Yeah.
And so expand on what you have. And obviously, if you have influences, that's all healthy. But yeah, man, value yourself enough, but stay humble. Stay humble.
Yeah.
And and answer the phone when people call. I'll give you that. Yeah. Man, dude.
I love that one.
Yeah, answer the phone, man. Because there's people that I've like tried to get on gigs and I text them. I don't hear from them for like 15, 20 minutes. I give them a call. They don't answer their phones. I'm like, all right, bye.
Yeah, next.
Yeah, next. Like, and then I get a text 2 days later. Hey, man, so sorry. It's like, nah, yeah, yes, I know you're sorry.
Because I just, you just lost.
Yeah, you just lost some cash, bro. Yeah. Like, that was fun. It was going to be a fun gig. Oh, yeah. Man, let me know next time. I won't do that. No, I will not do that. Yeah, answer your phone, man. Yeah. Stay humble and answer your phone.
Yeah.
You know, and also know when to, also know when to walk away. Hmm. That would be a big thing too. Yeah, answer your phone and know when to walk away. Because there's unhealthy things that you can be a part of too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think we've all been there too.
Right, right.
And just lean into the Lord, lean into what he's doing. This is a God-given talent, man. Whether you're in the secular industry or not, it's a God-given thing.
It is, yeah.
And as long as you're honoring that, you're going to be fine. Yeah. Everybody's going to be fine.
That's good. Yeah. Where can people find you? Social media.
Oh, all man. Social stuff. Media, Tinder. No, I'm just kidding. I've never had a Tinder in my life, bro. I just thought it's funny. Yeah. No, man, Instagram, Facebook. If you want to try to find me on Twitter, you can. It's the same thing. I'm never on Twitter. I need to delete my Twitter.
Yeah. You still got your MySpace up?
I do think I have a MySpace
up. I have two of them. Yeah. I had a music page and my regular one.
Yeah.
But I don't remember my password.
No, so. No. The forget my password thing. Thank God somebody, give that guy a raise. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. And even then, like I was on Google the other day or Google Chrome, and they're like, "Oh, you have four compromised passwords." I'm like, "Oh, that's not unnerving at all. What are they?" And yeah. I'm like, "Oh, well, those. That's fine. Those. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. But no, man. Social media, Instagram, Facebook. That's basically it. I'm not super active because I'll probably be a lot more active actually now.
Yeah.
Now that I'm not so busy.
Is it under your full name?
Yeah. Yeah. So Mark MARC. I didn't spell that growing up. I didn't have a choice in that. So it's MARC, Bilderbach, BILDERBACH. And that's me.
I feel like the C is more daring than the K, like Mark. Or no? Or is that just me?
It can be multiple things. So like, it's funny. My cousin just texted me the other day a picture of a Starbucks cup. It was a meme. And it was like, I went to Starbucks and I said my name was Mark with a C and they spelled it C-A-R-K. Like Cart. And I'm like, dude, but I've gotten like Marcy before. Wow. Because somebody like added an I. I've gotten, yeah, it's just weird, man. But yeah, Mark is usually like pretty plain and simple with a K.
Yeah.
But C, people sometimes trip out. Like, right. It's not anything. Like, you ever heard of Mark Jacobs? It's the same. It's Mark Echo? It's the same thing.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. Y'all don't shop at Ross? Okay, it's fine.
Cool.
But yeah, man. Yeah, Mark Bilderbach, that's me. And yeah.
Nice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 39 with Mark Bilderbach. Thank you, bro, for coming out, doing this, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate
you, bro. I don't know what we're doing there. Whatever, bro. Yeah. We're doing it like that.
Yeah, there we go. But
thank you for doing this, man. Such great analogies and stories, metaphors, all that good stuff that every time we talk, man, I learn something new. So I appreciate it.
Love you, dog.
And yeah, episode 39 with Mark Bilderbach. Thank you, guys. And we'll see y'all next week.